Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 12th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 of 2, and our goal always remains the same: to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide, never revolution, but always restoration. The principles that made America great, the checks and balances put in place, can make America great once again. For all that, they call us domestic terrorists. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Even the Widowmaker can't take Sheriff Richard Mack out. He's on your radio. Sheriff Richard, former sheriff, I should say. Richard Mack, you are David, huh, sir?
Well, I'm trying. I'm certainly trying, and we certainly have some Davids around the country, which is very encouraging, and I'm still here, and I'm going to try to actually go back to work tomorrow night. I'm speaking at a tea party in Deer Valley, Arizona, and I'm going to see how it goes.
All right. Well, all I know is the fast-paced, on-the-road, everyday thing, you just can't handle that. Now, there's the news story that I want to bring up to your attention. The headline for the Deseret News says this: paying for work and attitude. Stories by Deseret News, okay? And it says, hey, people have to do for their work certain tasks every day, okay? Every job has requirements. You see, factory workers, they got to do the routine tasks over and over and over. Doctors have to abide by certain health and ethical codes in paying or caring for patients. Cooks have to prepare food according to the menu. But how many employees are required to look like they enjoy their jobs? There's a new term for this. It's called emotional labor. And emotional labor means that not only do employees have to do their job, but they have to act and look and feel and behave in certain ways. In other words, even if they get a negative emotional response from customers, they still have to kind of let it just roll off their back like a duck kind of thing. So, for example, low-paid McDonald's employees are asked to get customers to pay for meals by love, by asking them to call family members and give hugs to friends and do all these kind of interesting things. If someone doesn't seem too pumped up to call his mom, they have to encourage him to do it. They got to react with joy. Come on. Okay, you got to put on a, quote, performance for customers. That way you can get, quote, performance in return. Now, they say emotional labor is a problem because you get poorly paid individuals trying to, even though they're slaves underneath, they got to put a smile on. And they got to cover up the real conditions under which they labor. Now, this one guy jokes, I stroll into McDonald's looking for a sandwich and a latte, and I believe the girl behind the counter loves me. I mean, her physical glow was unmistakable whenever I'd come in. Oh, but then he realized she lit up for the next person in line, too. And the next, and the next. In other words, radiance was her job. Now, not only does this new labor force, the naked capitalist, want your mind and body, they want your soul, too. They won't employ anybody who's just in it for the money. No. Athletes, for example, even though you throw a horrible pass and the ball gets picked off and they score and you lose the game, now you're supposed to just cheerfully explain how that all went down, right? Okay. Emotional labor is brutal. Okay. Now, there was some athletes that would not like to go to the press conferences or whatever, and then they'd start getting fined by their league, so they'd go. And they'd just sit there and go, the only reason I'm here is so that I don't get fined. But what about employees that are basically required or forced to incorporate emotional labor into their work? Those people are more likely to suffer from stress anxiety, and insomnia. The sooner employers get on board with the notion of emotional labor as, quote, real work, the sooner they can start adequately compensating workers for it. Now, Sheriff Richard Mack, you got a pretty thankless job, my friend. So do I. We're patriots. We run around and tell the tale of liberty. Doesn't matter if we have just devastating loss after loss after loss after violation of our rights, violation, and we're called terrorists by our government, and then we run around and do the very best we can to promote God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property, and peace, and prosperity, and the American way, and dream the American dream, and love thy neighbor, and then pretty soon, man, the emotional stress is just unbelievable. You and I should be paid like, I don't know, more than Michael Jordan and LeBron James. What do you think, sir?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've thought similar things. I didn't think I'd quite be paid that much. I mean, Michael Jordan still makes, $100 million a year.
Yeah, but he doesn't even deal near with the amount of emotional stress that we deal with on a daily basis, sir. Come on.
No, he doesn't. In fact, he probably has very little of that now. All he does is kind of sit around smoking his cigars and seeing his underwear from Hanes, I guess, that he makes commercials for, and then seeing all the money come from that underwear commercial, and then he goes to golf tournaments all the time. You know, it's pretty relaxed life he has. You know, he there isn't much stress there. So, yeah, if we're going to pay by stress, I mean, I think I had a heart attack due to all the stress that I have in my life. And you know, I dedicated my heart to this, and it kind of gave out. So I don't think Michael Jordan has had that problem. And, you know, and he certainly has the money to pay for all his bills, which we kind of seem to be having problems with right now. But, you know, there's a lot of good people that have really come to our aid, and I don't think Michael Jordan has had that. So a lot of people have touched our lives, and you couldn't put a price on the things that we've seen and done as a family, and the good people that we've been able to meet all across the country. It's been miraculous, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
And I want to make this very clear. Our stress does not come from what we actually do. It comes from the abuse we take and from the crosshairs we're in by those who serve us. We did a big, huge expose on the Southern Poverty Law Center yesterday, and they've created a new report calling you and I terrorists. They're even lumping more and more and more kind and gentle people into the mix as we speak. And they got a new report out talking about this whole list of reasons that you and I are terrorists, Sheriff Mack. And I think that most of our stress comes from the devastating losses we receive on a daily basis when it comes to assault on liberty, and from the government's hostility towards us, expecting them to obey the law.
Well, I've been pretty perplexed by the Southern Poverty Law Center that they have any credibility with any group. I don't care with whomever. And as a matter of fact, even the federal government has started to back away from these liars. And the thing of it is, does the Southern Poverty Law Center ever consider truth as part of what they do and what they print and the propaganda schemes that they put out? And it never is. I mean, if they would look at my career and look at who I am, they would know that what.
No, you don't get it. They already know. They know you're not a racist, but they know that card simply puts you into a corner. And to those who fall for the lie, it makes your anything you have to say, think, believe, or do, quote, irrelevant.
Well, they'll even say that they've never heard me say anything racist. They've said that about me, even though we've never. Sheriff Mack, you know, he's never said anything racist. He hangs out with people who do, you know, because if I'm on a radio show and that announcer or host has ever said anything racist,
then I'm supposedly tainted because of that, and that I'm probably a racist.
You know? Well, you got to define what saying things that are racist means. If I basically say that I believe Al Sharpton should go back to the gutter from which he came, is that a racist statement?
Well, that's a quote from another black man who is a real leader. And
yeah, but he's allowed to say it because he's black, and I'm not allowed to say it because I'm white, but I'm the racist, right?
Yeah.
See, what I mean is they manipulate everybody into that category to the point where I don't even know what a racist statement is. I don't even know what color people are.
But, you know, and I would love for him to interview all five of my adult children and say, how many racist statements have you heard your father make in your lifetime? You know, and get some real evidence, you know?
No, they're not interested in evidence. They can just blackball you, lie, and thieve. And the problem is they don't have credibility, but since they are on the government dole, how are you going to reject them? Quick pause. Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam, Kurt, Sheriff Richard Mack in the roundtable, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about emotional stress, emotional labor. This is a serious issue they want us to get on board for. And I say, you know what? Some jobs are a whole lot more emotionally charged and stressed than others. Sheriff, being a police officer is pretty emotional, pretty taxing from an emotional point of view, making life and death decisions basically real time. It's pretty tough to handle. And the sad part is America now, for the most part, has this anger and hatred towards the police. Sad to say, a lot of it's justified. At the same time, a lot of it isn't. And there's kind of a, a, a balancing act that must be dealt with here, right?
Yeah, it is, and that's where chiefs and sheriffs and leadership play a very strong role. And they have to, first of all, police themselves. And on the news this morning here locally, I saw before I got on with you that a police officer in Tempe, Arizona, who had sexual relations with a person who he had been investigating and even arresting for drug trafficking, and he was put on probation. You know, he's already fired. He's already lost his job, and now they're going to put him on probation to not do that again. You know, how could he do it again? You know, and when they get off on stuff like that, the community just doesn't trust the system and doesn't trust police because of stuff like that, and it really becomes widespread.
In other words, the point is accountability becomes the issue, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And you know, when the police agencies and the police community sweep things under the carpet like this, and even when they do finally get caught and finally brought to justice, then they get the little hand slap on the wrist. It just makes it wonder, why did you even go through the trouble and all the money expenses to arrest the officer? And then you basically let him go.
Well, let me stop you there for a second and kind of go back to a story that we did last hour, but I think kind of makes the point very well. You know, you've heard about the military scandals about these alpha male military men basically seducing, raping, and sexually harassing women throughout the ranks of the military. Just absolutely an epidemic, right?
Yeah.
Well, now it turns out last year alone, the Pentagon spent over $500,000 on Viagra for troops.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about, right? It's like, how on earth then? I mean, they act like they're getting after that in the military, and I'm thinking, what alpha male fueled by Viagra in close proximity to, for the most part, trim and fit females? What? I don't mean to be rude, but I'm just saying, how many guys are going to be able to resist the drug-induced lust or whatever you want to call it? And then they're saying they're trying to stop it? But yet we're funding it with our tax dollars, and this is the kind of stuff in government. No wonder we don't trust the military, trust the Pentagon, trust the and then they run around and go, we don't know why you don't trust us. We don't know why you're anti-government. What's wrong with you, terrorists? And you kind of go, what?
Well, that's the one thing I wanted to say. You know, you brought up law enforcement career and that I was there, and I did make those life and death situations. But most of the time, Sam, law enforcement is boring. It's a boring job. You ride around on patrol, and you go and walk through neighborhoods, and you walk downtown and check doors and make sure everything's okay. And stakeouts are another thing. Absolutely boring. The most boring thing, and they're really glad.
But again, that's part of the emotional stress and taxing responsibilities, though. That boring part is just as taxing as the rest.
Right, because something – and then in the middle of that boring job, something taxing will happen. And so you go from very calm – to extreme of adrenaline stress when there is a major traffic accident or a shooting or a neighborhood fight that really and neighborhood fights or domestics are very emotional. I mean, you go in a home where they've already been throwing plates and dishes and stuff at each other, and kids are screaming and neighbors are calling 911, and it does. And then on top of that, add a case that you go to where a child has been abused. And, you know, I still have scars. I was just talking to my wife about that. I still have scars from cases. And she goes, well, you never told me about those. And I said, no, I didn't want to. I didn't want to make it part of us. But this is the thing, Sam. In the 20 years I was in law enforcement, never at any time did I abuse anybody. I've never slugged another human being. I've never beat anybody up. I've never shot anybody. I've never attacked anybody. I was never accused of inappropriate behavior with the public, ever in my career, ever at any time. And I've never been violent with anyone in my life. I've never hurt another human being. I detested violence. I detested the officers who did, and routinely, some did routinely have these problems with beating people. And I was never a part of that. And now I'm on a national list that I'm actually a terrorist. How absolutely ridiculous and absurd can the Southern Poverty Law Center get? They've never taken the time to find out who I am, and when they have found out who I am, they've twisted it to make me into somebody I am not. And that you and I are on such a list is so absolutely ridiculous, and we are the ones who oppose Hitler policies, yet they continue to support Hitleric policies such as gun control and government interference and government government can do anything it wants to its people. They continue to support that. They have no problem with the government shooting Randy Weaver in the back, shooting and killing his son, shooting and killing his wife in front of their children. They have absolutely no problem with that, but they assail and criticize and really rake over the coals anyone who's ever even talked to Randy Weaver, and that Randy Weaver is this horrible person because he didn't believe, or he was supposed to have been a racist, yet they've never even really checked into that to prove that he ever was.
But even if he is racist, though, look, there's no law against being racist.
No, in fact...
But in the last, you know, Sheriff Mack, it sure brings that scripture again to mind where it says, in the last days, good is called evil, and evil is called good, doesn't it?
And there's no group that epitomizes that more than the Southern Poverty Law Center.
But ladies and gentlemen, this issue about cops that beat people up and that are out of control, it's a symptom on a local level or an individual level of a much larger nationwide problem where you have poorly trained, overzealous, aggressive enforcement officers. Proper training would be the solution, wouldn't it, Sheriff?
Yes, I think so. It certainly has to be part of it. And then how they hire people and how they do profiles on prospective police is definitely another. And they've had a huge problem with that. And they've trusted a system that doesn't really work. And then, though, as we mentioned earlier, that they properly discipline employees who have committed crimes and are having problems. Most cops will just be asked to resign, and then they go get hired on somewhere else, just like bad teachers do. And this is something that really needs to be addressed big time in that
bad system. Bad teachers don't get hired somewhere else, though. I mean, you know, that never happens.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, they do and they have, and it's been a huge problem. Again, you know, these public schools don't want to show the public that they've had problems, and so they just kind of sweep them under the carpet, and they think they're getting rid of them, and it just perpetuates the problem.
I believe training is the key. That's what the CSPOA is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You want to learn more, CSPOA.org. You want to become part of the solution. Look, the CSPOA is not just for police officers. It's for Americans who support police officers and public officials that keep their oaths of office and who obey the law. That's what it's about. Sheriff, travel safe, my friend. We'll chat soon.
Thanks a lot, Sam. See you, Kurt.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Life is stressful, but there are solutions. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
What's so special about the Get Prepared Expo? Imagine having the opportunity to learn from some of the best preparedness and survival instructors available today. The faculty of USAPrepares.com. Imagine meeting your radio instructors all in one place. The last weekend in March. Imagine having lunch or dinner at a table with your instructors. And the cost? $10.80. Imagine having your favorite instructors autographing and personalizing your new books. Imagine buying Berkey water filters at deep discounts, the lowest price in the country. Imagine buying freeze-dried long-term storage food at the lowest price in the country. You don't have to imagine. This is real. It's at the Get Prepared Expo, the biggest and best preparedness expo there is, March 27, 28, and 29 in Lebanon, Missouri. One-day tickets are $8 on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Getprepareduxpo.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Halliburton, I guess, Kurt, has to trim their workforce. The oil prices have gone down so much now. Halliburton's going to trim their workforce by 7%. I guess they say it's going to be anywhere from 5,200 to 6,400 workers. They say it's in response to plummeting oil prices. They're going to cut investments in exploration and production. Looks like in recent weeks, one oil company after another is looking at about a 15 to a 30% reduction in their 2015 budgets because of the 50% crude price drop since June. And they call it the most rapid deceleration in drilling in the last several decades. They expect gas prices to go down even further. They say we value every employee we have, but unfortunately, we've got a difficult reality that reductions are necessary, Halliburton said in a statement. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, you know, on this whole gas thing, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, Sam? They call it supply and demand, and the whole free enterprise system, it works pretty well, especially when government leaves it alone and, you know, pretty much stays out of the way. But when the price goes way up for something, that typically means that then there's a lot of folks that say, man, I could, you know, I could make some money getting some oil out of the ground, getting in on this bonanza. And then, you know, you get quite a bit more supply typically. And what that means is then a lot of times the price goes down because you got to increase supply. And, you know, so these ebbs and flows of the market are pretty much the way, you know, I believe it's supposed to work. Now, some folks want to make sure that they have a monopoly, and then, you know, they get upset if, you know, their ox might be gored or whatever. But, you know, you see the other day I went by one place where right next to a normal gas station, they had a, you know, a CNG filling station. That stands for compressed natural gas. And, you know, I noticed that the price per gallon of both of them were pretty close. You know, a while back, before the CNG's boys really got going, the price of, you know, gas was about twice as much. And, you know, so it's neat to see how the normal market takes care of those things because, hey, when there are opportunities, Americans and people all over the world jump in and provide solutions, and it's pretty cool to see, especially when government leaves it alone. Huh?
Yeah, and my issue with this is this. The problem is you got the OPEC international cartels that have, you know, allowed the price to drop. You've got governments investing in huge stores of oil. You got governments supplementing oil companies and et cetera for generations. I guess what I'm saying is I support the free market 100%, and I'm fine with the price of oil, you know what, regulating itself based on realities of supply and demand, as you suggest, Kurt. I guess my only concern is if we're not very careful, we'll have governments manipulating this thing. We won't have proper tariffs at the borders that could make sure that we, the people, aren't taxed too hard directly, and we could have a regulating spigot on this to some degree, or spigot on this. So the problem that I see is that I'm concerned about the manipulations of the market, and I wonder if the OPEC countries are intentionally, listen carefully, are intentionally forcing the price down, and the American government's participating in that price-fixing, price-reduction fraud, so that Americans won't drill and won't, you know, that way they can win the environmental discussion. On one hand, we're cranking up oil production. On the other hand, Barack doesn't want us to do that at all. He wants to prevent our use of energy, and they want to use climate control and climate change and whatever to control us in that regard. What do you think, Kurt? Do you think there's a manipulation of the market going on here, or do you think it really is supply and demand?
Well, that's why I mentioned, at least in my opinion, the important part about how if governments really do what they're supposed to do, and that is simply do what the Constitution outlined in America and, you know, pretty much stay out of the other parts, man, it's impressive what happens. But so many times, in my opinion, the bigger a business gets, the more they want to, protect their interests, if you will. And so they typically, want to find lawmakers that are friendly to them and will accept some of their gifts, if you will, and in turn that will give them some special kind of market help. And that in my opinion is the biggest problem with this whole thing. But it's amazing to see how the American people and people all over the world, you know, what happens typically, Sam, when the price of an item just goes skyrocketing, hey, people are forced to do certain things. When the price of fuel was extra high a while back, what did people do? You know, you saw a lot more of these go to meetings, deals online, you see more working from home, all these different things. Solutions are there, even when you have out of control governments messing around with the market and, screwing things up,
Yeah, there you go. All right. Right. Kurt, I find this fascinating. A Swedish office is implanting radio frequency chips or RFID chips into employees' hands now. An office complex in Sweden. Now, I guess they're putting these chips in a worker's hands to make entrance and exits to the office much easier. And this is according to the BBC News, Kurt. They say we already interact with technology all the time. And isn't it just much easier to just touch with your hand? It's really intuitive. It's really easy. Now, radio frequency identification chips allow employees in Sweden's office complex access to their buildings. They say the technology implants are about the size of a grain of rice. They open doors. They give you access to the photocopier and more. They even are starting to add being able to pay for food at the cafe with them. And employees are not required or forced at this point to have the technology implanted, but they can choose to have a, access card or the chip, Kurt. And they say that, believe it or not, these guys are a step ahead of other companies and even governments. They say we want to be able to understand this technology before big corporations and big government demands it. And there you have it. Now, we've been talking about this literally forever, Kurt, and it's always been on the horizon, about to be, but now it is. Any thought, Kurt?
Well, there are some that would say that this chip in your hand is part of the whole mark of the beast kind of thing. We're told that, at least I studied this story a little bit and heard some about it, and some of these chip carriers, if you will, report that it's not that comfortable. There's some little problems with it, and it technology typically brings you a few difficulties, if you will. I, for one, would prefer not to receive the chip in the hand or in the forehead. I just kind of off that, but then I'm a little bit backward when it comes to technology, huh, Sam?
There you have it. Anyway, I find that interesting. I don't know if they'll eventually force the jab on us and force the ID chip on us, etc. But I would say this, Kurt. There is signs that the technology is advancing. Or there are signs, I should say, that the technology is advancing. The problem that I see is we act like it's just tomorrow everybody's going to have the jab and the chip. And I'm not so sure we're as close as they think. The fight's still on. How many people are going to go for it, Kurt? I think that the few might. I think this is a propaganda piece by the BBC to try to bring this into the matrix of world discussion, per se. And kind of a trial balloon for acceptability. I agree with that. But we're not even close, Kurt. What do you think?
I think you're right. We're a ways away, but we definitely are, farther along than when we talked about it years ago. Some folks talk like, "Well, man, if you just have that, so much better, because then you wouldn't lose your wallet, all these different things." But I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, there's difficulties about this kind of idea. Huh, Sam?
There you have it. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment in seconds. You are listening to News the Networks Refuse to Use via Liberty Roundtable, syndicated by Republic Broadcasting and Liberty News Radio on your favorite talk station.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, "Don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Google Fiber zipping its way to more cities, Kurt. USA Today has the details. Google, I guess they're going to be cranking out to 18 new cities in four metro areas, primarily in the southeastern portion of the United States. The internet giant is promising speeds of up to 1 gigabit per second. That's about 100 times the average U.S. internet connection now. They claim Atlanta, Charlotte, Raleigh-Durham, Nashville are some of the cities they're talking about. Having fast broadband speeds is a necessity, not a luxury anymore. The move comes nearly 5 years after Google offered to build a state-of-the-art fiber U.S. network in one city. It started out in 2012 in Kansas City, Kurt. They charge $80 a month for the gigabit service and $120 if you want a cable TV involved. They say Google Fiber is now up and running in Provo, Utah, and in Austin, Texas. They're also considering jumping into the Phoenix market, Portland, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, Texas, and San Jose, California as well. Anyway, they say we're really focused on doing a great job in these cities. I guess they expect to have a launch where they're going to, they've been talking about different cities. Okay. There's 34 of them. They think they might just bust out and do all of them, Kurt. They believe the expansion is a consequence of Google Fiber, and tests are going better than they thought they would, Kurt. What do you think, Kurt?
You know, so this is basically like, you know, the speed that we deal with, right? The internet, you know, that we're...
Well, when you
that,
say we, you mean me and you personally, or you mean
yeah,
the nation?
Yeah, that. Well, I mean, at least us personally.
Yeah, me and you personally are both on Comcast, Kurt, which means we have a lot faster connections than most people.
Yeah, and so if we had this new Google Fiber or whatever they call it, I mean, what difference would we notice? What would be,
I personally don't think you'd notice a whole lot of difference, and I'll tell you why. You and I have very fast speeds. I've got like 75 down and... No, I'm sorry. I've got 100 down and 20 up. That's an incredible fast connection, Kurt. Now, the Google connection would be much faster. There's no doubt about it. It would be, I don't know, 10 times faster. The problem is, Kurt, is it doesn't matter how fast my connection is between me and Google or me and Comcast or me and somebody... Once I get above a certain speed, and I'll tell you why, the speed of the delivery is as fast as the slowest segment along the way. In other words, let's say I have a huge throat, I can drink a lot of soda pop fast, and I got a huge straw. That's great. But if the delivery method, deliver me soda pop, is a very, very, very thin line, doesn't matter how fast I can drink that soda pop out of my glass. If the filling up the glass part's really slow, then it doesn't help me. In other words, the speed is forced to the slowest link in the chain, if you will. And that's kind of the situation we're experiencing. So Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying fast internet's not good. What I'm saying is you're not going to see day-to-day around the net real results as these speeds suggest, not even close. Because you've got to connect. Let's say that you connect to a guy named Larry's website. And Larry hosts his website on his own connection. He doesn't put it out in the cloud like everybody else does. He hosts it himself. And you got an incredible fast internet connection. Well, you're going to be as slow as Larry's connection, folks. So what I'm saying is that it sounds awesome, but there's two concerns I have about it. One is there's a lot of governments that have built these connections that now Google is controlling and benefiting from. The taxpayers really shouldered a lot of that burden. Provo, Utah is a perfect example of the point. And then secondarily, I don't think you're going to get near as fast as speeds as they think, Kurt. So there's my take.
All right. So, at least one of the good things probably is basically just have a little more competition in the market. But, you know, anytime governments, this is kind of a perfect example of that. Google, a big, big company, taking advantage of, taxpayer dollars in many cases, I guess I'm saying.
Yeah, pretty much. I wish we all had faster connections. I do think faster connections are important. I do think that our society depends on it a lot. I think that's all true, Kurt. No doubt about it.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's in the news. What?
Yeah, RBG. You know, there's RPGs. You've heard of that, right?
Now her middle name's what? Bader, Kurt?
Yeah, B-A-D-E-R.
So she's a Bader about this issue or what?
Well, she's like a gator, if you ask me. But anyway, in this case, the Bloomberg.com boys have this piece where Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the Supremes, she thinks Americans are ready for, she says, gay marriage, and I'd call it homosexual. It's a Bloomberg interview. You can read and listen to what the 81-year-old justice had to say about it, Anyway, she says the change in people's attitudes on this issue has been enormous. In recent years, people have said, this is the way I am, and others looked around and we discovered it's our next-door neighbor. We're very fond of them. Or it's our child's best friend or even our child. I think that as more and more people came out and said that this is who I am, the rest of us recognize that they are one of us. Anyway, I think she's telling you which way she's going to vote.
Yeah, but now I want to clarify something about this, Kurt. I think that she's taking a truth, and now she's perverting that truth into something that is not true. In other words, it's absolute. Should I use the term bait, Kurt? It's a classic bait and switch going on here. I agree that all of a sudden you find out a best friend or a former friend or a family member or a loved one or a sibling or somebody is gay or lesbian, Kurt. I agree. You think, wow, you know what? They're one of us. They're our friends. We love them. And I don't think it changes that love. And I don't think it changes that to where you all of a sudden hate them by any means. But that doesn't mean that Americans are ready for gay marriage. Okay, I've got a friend who happens to be gay. He's a great friend of mine. He's been a friend forever. One day he just came to me and said, I'm gay now or whatever. And I was very saddened. I believe he's making a wrong choice. I believe it's a sin. That's my humble reference point, okay? However, I still love him as a person. I still am grateful for his friendship, and I don't hate him by any means. And I'm not just going to jettison him because he's made some choices that I disagree with. Okay, but that does not mean that I'm ready to promote gay marriage on his behalf. Okay? I think that we ought to realize he's a child of God, and he has God-given rights just like the rest of us. They're unalienable. That doesn't mean that I have to back societal endorsement of his behavior, per se. And so we can agree to disagree on that issue and still be friends, Kurt, and still have respect and appreciation for one another. And I'm not about to hate him or jettison him or abuse him or anything over this. But that doesn't mean that I'm ready for a same-sex marriage, Kurt. And I think that's kind of the problem that I have with this scenario. And I feel like that statement is very manipulative in terms of the true nature of reality. You know what? Most of us do know somebody that's gay or lesbian. And at first we are kind of shocked. Now we kind of say, you know what? And they've made those choices and we've kind of acclimated as a society to it to a great degree by, in my opinion, by force. Nevertheless, just because I I don't hate the sinner. That doesn't mean that I like or am willing to endorse what I believe to be the sin. There is a balance, is the point, Kurt. And to one, suggest that I hate everybody and that I'm a homophobe is wrong. To also suggest that now I'm okay with it and I'm all good and actually want to promote same-sex marriage is not the truth.
She sure provides a change, if you will, compared to, you know, imagine how the Supreme Court would be if you had it filled with people like Chief Justice, you know, of Alabama's Supreme Court, Judge Roy Moore. I don't think they would be saying the same things. And, you know, she mentions that in her little interview there with Bloomberg News that, hey, when Obama was first elected back in 2004, she met him then, and even her son had worked on his campaign. She asked to be seated next to him when the justices held their traditional dinner for the new members of the Senate. She said there was a rapport from the start between us, and she received a hug from the president every year as he walks to the podium to deliver his State of the Union address. Man, it's just a love fest between Obama and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, huh, Sam?
Well, absolutely. Why wouldn't there be, Kurt?
Good point.
I think Michelle ought to make sure that Ruth isn't Brock's Valentine, though, Kurt's what I'm saying.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
You know, at least, in my opinion, this scripture that you find in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, where it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
It fits
really well.
Good point.
In this situation.
All right, that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt's with his wife tomorrow. I'll be live on your radio, though. Have no fear. Grab me a couple of guests, and we'll have a hard-hitting News the Networks Refuse to Use radio show, as always. Kurt will be back on Monday. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to turn any phone, anytime, anywhere into a radio? It's simple and free. Sit back, smile, and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. We're live and on demand on the Roku player. Look at the special intersection for the Liberty News Radio channel. We'd like to thank RepublicBroadcasting.org and LibertyNewsRadio.com for carrying the broadcast. And we'd like to thank your favorite local radio station. Take the time to thank them as well, would you please? Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can restore America. You're going to help. This nation shall endure.